Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Royce King, Jim Hale, and Marcus Ogden. And I want to ask the question, what's the difference between autonomy, employee autonomy, and neglectful leadership? Jim, can you kick us off?
I will. Neglected leadership is such a oxymoron. Right. So, in my opinion, if you want your employees to be all they can be, and I firmly believe that employees can be a competitive advantage to your company, therefore, that means that somebody who's neglecting them is not utilizing their leadership. Mm. And if they're not utilizing their leadership, it's because they don't want to be accountable and they don't want to be responsible, and they're very egocentric.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'll address this from a different perspective, although I agree with Jim that it is an oxymoron. I have found myself to lead both ways, with neglectful leadership and with autonomy and trust of my employees and staff. I think that you can set the table and manage the expectations of both sides, both your team and yourself, if you start at the interview. I will share my management style, which tends to be somewhat autonomous, right in the interview after asking what their work style is to make sure that we align, because I am more than happy to be an engaged leader that teaches them new skills and holds their hand more, but I want them to ask me for that. Otherwise, I tend to trust that they know what they need to do and leave them to autonomously complete the task.
Okay. Marcus, what are your first thoughts?
So when I think about this, I think about two things. I think about accountability and responsibility. So to me, accountability is when people have and make the internal promise to themselves to do whatever is necessary to be successful. And then responsibility is making that external promise to someone else to do what you need to do so the organization can thrive and win. I'm going to agree with both of these phenomenal panelists in saying that they were both absolutely correct. And what I try to do is I try to make sure that people that I work with are accountable to themselves and responsible to the alignment around a shared vision or mission. And then at that time, the leadership style could be a little bit more hands-off, because if I know that they are accountable to themselves and responsible to the mission, I feel everybody's going to win. Because in my old craft was a construction owner, I tried to be a micromanager and I didn't trust people, and it ended up backfiring really bad. So today I try to be just a lot more aware, but if you're accountable and responsible, then I feel the leadership style can really be a little bit more lax, because everybody's going to be working on the same terrain or the same vision.
Hmm. So I think what I'm hearing is that what we're saying is this: if you're going to give an employee autonomy, you have to set them up to be successful first. Give them, to your point, Royce, give them in the interview kind of what they need, to your point, Marcus, that give them the autonomy, the knowledge they need, but be available. Because I think, Jim, that's what you were saying, is that if you're going to allow them to be autonomous, if they need you, you have to be available. Is that what I'm hearing correctly?
Yes. The other thing is my background is working in production plants. And I've worked in union plants, non-union plants, but I've also worked in what's called participative management plants, where all the employees are considered to be exempt employees. Oh. Where in the one plant, the production workers were trained, were told from the beginning, we want you to be all you can be. You will be interviewing potential employees who will work with you. Mm-hmm. You will also be grading them on their performance. Mm-hmm. And within that plant, we had what was called a central committee made up from representatives from every department. And they decided, working with the plant manager, what the holiday schedule was, if we had to do a layoff, what the criteria for layoffs would be. And they would lay off their fellow employees.
Wow.
Now, the other plant I worked in Owensboro, Kentucky, is considered a technician plant. And where everybody came through the front door. There was no employee entrance.
Hmm.
Where people were, before you got hired, as Royce mentioned, you understood who they were. You went after high-level people. So in a lot of cases, some of the folks had at least 2 years worth of college doing production work. But in a technician system, you're like a Green Beret team. You not only do production work, you also do maintenance, you also do HR. And as a corporate guy, I was tasked to teach people how to do procurement and also teach the outside suppliers how to interact with the people in the plant. So everybody was treated as exempt employees to give value.
And so does that, that gives people a lot of autonomy, it sounds like, while giving them the same amount of the support that they need. So if you, let's say you're a leader, you've got managers working under you, and the manager is saying, no, I allow my employees to be autonomous, but the employees feel like they're being neglected, they're not getting the leadership that they need. How would you as a leader be able to tell if there's a disconnect there? How would you be able to tell as a leader?
You know, I have check-in points with mine. With one of my team members right now, I do a monthly check-in. What can I do differently to support you? And that puts the onus on me rather than you're not living up to my expectations. Why not? By me asking the question, what can I do differently to support you? She says, well, I need more instruction when you give me XYZ task. Then I know that's what I need to do. And she'll perform a lot better if I do that for her.
What I like to do, and I'm going to go with Roy said, is having those, it's kind of like the old saying, the fortune is in the follow-up. You need to really make sure that you're staying on task. Like with our team, we have bi-weekly meetings. We have bi-monthly meetings, every other week. So we actually were meeting. And then we also have one meeting set with our web designer to go over any website stuff. So two meetings are branding, marketing, part of that team working together. Then the other meeting we have once a month is website SEO development on that side. So I let the team do what they need to do. If they need, you know, something from me, they can reach out, they can call, they can text, they can email. I get right back to them. But we have those, like Roy said, we have those checkpoints, those check-in meetings. You know, one part is twice a month, then the other side is once a month. And this way, if people have questions, comments, feedback, something's working, what's working? We keep doing it. If something's not working, how do we change it? How do you pivot? And the best thing a leader can do is pivot and adapt in a highly stressful situation and be calm, because if you start getting tyrannical or start to get a little bit just aggressive or loud, that's what I did with my construction company. That's why I lost everything in 2013. So I'm right very much with Royce. I was flat broke and bankrupt in 2013 after a really bad construction job because my management style became a tyrant. It wasn't like a communicator to help you check in the different checkpoints.
Which is the opposite of being neglectful. Jim, do you have thoughts about how you would notice as a leader if you have a manager that falls kind of in that bracket?
Yes, there are several ways. One, my group critiqued me. All the managers were critiqued by their groups. And so in my case, I had shipping, receiving, I was materials manager for a production plant, baby wipes, production plant. I had shipping, receiving, purchasing, materials handling, production scheduling. They critiqued me twice a year. You can also tell by people critiquing them, internal to the group and external to the group. So if something wasn't right, it meant that I didn't have the proper training for them. They didn't, I didn't fully explain the expectations of the job, or there's something wrong with the job description.
So it sounds like to really differentiate between whether someone has autonomy or has a neglectful leader, you really need that feedback system, that ability to get information. And I feel like if someone is a neglectful leader or an absentee leader, they're not going to have a feedback system in place. And so if you're above, you have to be able to go around and find out yourself kind of what's going on, because the whole point of being neglectful or absentee is to hide and not get that feedback, not have it be seen. So that is our 10 minutes. I'm going to cut us off there. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me about leadership. I always enjoy hearing other people's perspectives, and I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.